Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Bigfoot lives to a movie at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
I'm skating right now. You remember the old dance they used to call the skate back in the 70s, maybe the early 80s? I've been skating. I'm feeling clean. You have no idea, folks. Today was a utopia day for Tom Biscardi. I feel like $1 million, just the way all you people out there in Bigfoot world look right now. I got to tell you, we have a stupendous show for everyone around the globe tonight, folks. And the main thing is I have my agent, my friend, my confidant, a man that's been with me for 12 years now, my agent, manager, call him what you want, Mark Bosco. He's a man in his own rights. He's wrote the book about being an independent filmmaker. He's been very successful. He's been doing distribution, got into the electronic world before the electronic world got here, and he came up with an announcement for me that just made my heart go pitter-patter. I got to tell you, it's been stupendous. So So I said, I can't use all those pretty words that you use, Mark. I said, get on the show, show the people what to do, where to go, and how to do it. Anytime you can get my people, my movies, for nothing, at no cost to them, get on the air and show them how to do it. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get out there to the East Coast, Ohio. Let's go to my good buddy, Mark Bosco. Mark, you out there?
Yeah, I'm here, Tom. Thank you so much. I love you, and I love this show, and I love everything you've done and do, and all the feelings are definitely mutual. What you're saying is correct.
Well, before you get going, I'm excited, and I'll tell you why. I've never been this excited so much since I think I gave birth to my firstborn when I found out my wife was pregnant back then. When you sent me that little ditty in the email and I clicked onto it, I had never seen the finished movie, okay? Always saw the dailies, always saw bits and pieces, but I never saw the piece of artwork that you put together. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, don't crawl, don't walk, don't run. Just do the mad dash for the cash, because this is something that's going to happen to you. And do it tonight. He's going to tell you how to get there. It's called Brutal Bigfoot Encounters. Is that what it's called?
Brutal Bigfoot. Yes, it is.
Brutal
yes,
Bigfoot.
I was
shocked when I saw this movie, the final finished film. And my God, I kept me glued to the screen all the way through. All the way through. And let me tell you something. You got to go some, folks, to show me about Bigfoot to see what happens. Well, without any further ado, let him tell you the whole story, how you can get this movie right now, soon as the show finishes, and he'll tell you how to get it, what to do, and where to go. Go for it, Mark.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tom. And, you know, the film, the editing and the creation of the final product could never have gotten to where it is without you and your team, you know, doing the research, videotaping the sections, you know, having the people grab the footage, actually talking to the folks. So kudos to them. You know, we had really good raw materials to work with, and what came out was really good. So this is the first time one of Tom's films is available, and it's the first of what will be a whole slew of them on Tubi TV, and that's TUBITV.com. And if your listeners have not heard of that, they should go there right away. And all they have to do is go to www.TUBITV.com. It is the largest and fastest growing streaming service in the world. Just a couple days ago, 2 weeks ago, second week of August, Fast Company magazine, very well-respected media source, says why Tubi is the one streaming service you need right now. Headline article. Tubi is growing faster than Netflix, faster than Amazon Prime, faster than Apple TV, faster than any other streaming service. They have more subscribers. They have a larger audience. And now they can watch Tom's new film, Brutal Bigfoot, for free. All you have to do is go to TubiTV.com, type in Brutal Bigfoot or Tom Biscardi. You can get there either way. It'll pop right up. You'll see the artwork. Click it. It just starts playing for free. That's it. No money down. No joining. No credit cards. No emails. Nothing. You just go there and you watch it. There will be some ads through the movie, and that's why you get to watch it for free. But that's it. You go and you watch. You have full access to the movie, brand new movie. Tom's good work. Tom's in it. His people are in it. The team's in it. It's a good film. It's interesting. It keeps you attention. It's one of his very, very good productions. And again, it's completely free. You can just sit down and watch it. You can watch it 2 times, 10 times. It doesn't matter. It's all free. And this is really, really big. Beyond the fact that it's free to viewers, this is a big accomplishment for Tom. Tubi is doing business with major studios. And if you're there and you look around and you look at their content, it's major studio product or even minor studio product. It's rarely films like Brutal Bigfoot. So the folks who are making the buying decisions there and the folks who are deciding to load the content there realize Tom's doing something worthwhile. They're not going to put that up there unless they know there's an audience for this. And believe me, this is my job. This is what I do for a living. I talk to these guys all the time. I can't sell them many of my films. They didn't even ask twice about this one. They came to us. They're like, we want that film because they know that Tom Biscardi has a brand. His name is a brand. They know what he stands for. And they know what kind of films he creates. And they know the audience that's there. So I would encourage everyone to go to TubiTV, TubiTV.com. Go to the search function, type in Brutal Bigfoot or Tom Biscardi, or even just Biscardi. The film box comes up. You click it. You start watching it for free. That's it. It works streaming. It's great. It's free. And we look forward to more announcements like this, Tom.
I got to tell you, Mark, I've blown my mind ever since I got the email. Everybody I've talked to, they can't believe it. And then when you tell them the whole concept, they said, wow, you think they'll be doing that with major films and stuff? I said, look how far we've come in the last 16 years. It's huge, okay? And it's become, you know, the electronic media. Nobody's leaving their homes anymore, for crying out loud. Everybody's scared. They're afraid they're going to contract this COVID-19. They're going to get some kind of illness and die. So now everybody stays home, and they're watching these movies like crazy. And I've got to tell you, I'm honored, and thank you from the bottom of my heart for the hard work that you've done, even though they just came to you and said, hey, you didn't have to go to them. I want this product, because I know it had to be put in front of them some way, and I know that you had something to do with it. And believe me, nobody better in this industry than you are getting the films out to people. I want you to tell, because last time you were on, I got about 18 phone calls, texts, emails. I even got two from two kids, believe it or not. One was in Montana and the other one was Colorado from their school, saying, Mr. Biscardi, your agent guy said the new movie was going to come out, Monsters, Mysteries, and Myths, the one about the red-haired giants that are in that cave. Can you give me a date on this stuff? And I says, well, he's coming on again, and maybe he can get, since we're getting closer towards the fourth quarter, maybe he can come out and tell you guys what's going on and give us a closer date. And I know that there's going to be multiple films made, so maybe you can cap on that also.
Yeah, absolutely. And there have been, unfortunately, delays and out of our hands. And I'm glad you brought up COVID-19, because that seems to be a lot of people's, you know, go-to for delays. And that's what we've heard on this from the production side. But that being said, we are looking to a fourth quarter release of the film. And I think it's going to be great stuff, because for the audience listening, it's, you know, Tom is the Bigfoot brand, Biscardi's Bigfoot brand, but he, because of his expertise in research and tracking down and studying and his long tenure of doing this, people realize, you know, why limit him to just the Bigfoot? What about some of these other ancillary unknown mysteries and monsters and cryptids that are, you know, in the world that he might lend his expertise to? And that's where these films come in. And that's what's so important about him, is now Tom's into a little bit of a different topic, but it's still in the same world, and you get to enjoy that. So the first one, the red-haired, cannibal red-haired giants of Lovelock, studies that, and it's about all those associations. You get to see Tom doing research in a little bit of a different way, and he's hosting the programs, and that's what people are liking. We have a short teaser that I was hoping to get out this week, but I think it'll be more like a couple weeks, and I would like to come back on the show, and we can show the audience that. We can put the post up on the Blog Talk Radio forum page, and they can go to that, and then we can discuss it. And I think they'll get a feel for how much more encompassing this is and how far in the future it'll go, and the breadth of the series of the films and all the topics that can be covered, as well as the opportunities it's going to bring for partnerships and more people to get involved with these films and their sightings and their stories, and open up a whole new set of doors for us to work with more people and hear more about what's going on.
You know, I've got to tell you, it blows my mind, okay? It never stops. I love the Travel Channel. I love the History Channel. I love the Discovery Channel. But the thing I can't stand anymore, I'm seeing Haunted this, Paranormal that, Most Haunted this. I'm thinking to myself, really? Is there nothing else? But I guess that's what must sell, and people are really into it, okay? And that's when I said to myself, you know, excuse me, there's really more to this than I really know about, just like I did with Bigfoot. So I started getting into it, folks, and I did. And it all started up there in Virginia City, Nevada. And my God, those who were there with us, I don't have to explain it. They saw it. They felt it. And they know what's going to happen. And it's going to be on the screen, man. You're going to see these things. And I says to myself, man, I thought this was all bullshit. And it wasn't. It's real. Okay? And then when you find out the history of all this stuff, I mean, the first phone, okay, the first electricity with Edison and Alexander Graham Bell was put up there in Virginia City at the mansion up there. Starts with an M. And they came and spent the night there. So many dignitaries. Mark Twain was there. President Grant and his wife stood there. The Big Four from from San Francisco. And the things that people don't understand, San Francisco was really built on the money from Virginia City. But and the cemetery, which we spent time out there, besides the mansions and the Bucket of Blood place and all the other places there. I'm getting ramped up, folks. You got to forgive me. And when you're out there in the middle of the night seeing this stuff, and then we're in the Silver Queen, and a reporter comes in from Channel 2, and you can call her up yourself. She may even be in the film. Are you guys putting her in?
Yeah, she will be in one of the segments of the series for sure.
Okay. She's there filming our guys doing the ghost paranormal stuff. All of a sudden, one of the guys' fingers start to bleed. And you see it on camera. The woman from Channel 2 is scared shitless. And she says, oh, my God, I can't believe what I'm seeing. Of course, she's scurried out of the room. But there are – listen, they used the Chinese early in the beginning of time to help dig those mines. And they have a Chinese burial ground. They have prostitute burial grounds. They have firemen burial grounds. They have all different ethnic groups there, okay? And we had to get some special dispensation to go and get a permit to film there, believe it or not. Not many people have gotten that permit, but we did. And not only that, to hook up with the Paiute Indians over there and meet with the curators of the museums and people like that. Are they still in the movie?
Yes, there's. You get to see it all. Everything you've walked through are going to be in the films.
Wow. Well, I'm going to tell you, folks, you're going to see some stuff that was exciting, memorable. You're going to say to yourself, wow, did it really exist? Okay? Were these giant, red-haired Indians? Were they some kind of beings that nobody knew about? Did they grow abnormally large and they were casted out? They all lived in this cave? And then what would happen is they'd come and supposedly, when the folklores are, they'd come back into the Indians' reservation and kidnap the people to eat them, believe it or not. And that's when they said enough was enough and put a lot of that sagebrush in the cave. When they put them all up in that cave, set it on fire, and they either died or not knowing that there were other places in that cave to get out. So throughout all of these years, they really existed, but nobody knew where they were. Until we got the call a year and a half ago, whatever it was, and saying, hey, we've seen some things up here that we've never seen before. And I don't know if they're Bigfoot or what, but you better come out here and take a look. And I'll tell you, they were all, people on the reservation there, pretty closed mouth. But I met a girl named Donna Cosette. She became friends with me. She's friends with me today. She's one hell of a gal. She's the curator of the museum up there, and then they put her on the tribal Indian board for something. I forget what it is, but she's a hell of a gal. She knows her stuff. She knows her heritage. And she was the one that went and got those bodies, the skeletons, and repatriated them and reburied them so they can go on their journey to, you know, Neverland or journey of to Godland, wherever they go. I mean, you're going to see and hear things, folks, that you never thought about me doing, okay? And I'll tell you what, I enjoyed it immensely. It was phenomenal. I'm waiting to see what the finished product looks like because it's all in his hands and Mark and his people. It's just like Brutal Bigfoot. I was just shocked to see. And I sat through the whole damn thing. I'm saying to myself, wow. And Rocky, boy, did you do a hell of a part in there, buddy. And Swede, you were... Ladies and gentlemen, you want to know what Swede looks like? Go look at this movie. You want to know what Rocky looks like? Go look at this movie. You want to know what TJ looks like? Go look at this movie. You want to know what Youngblood looks like? Go look at the movie. It's unbelievable, okay? I said to myself, man, these guys sure know their stuff and they put it together in the right form and way. Kudos to you, Mark. I take my hat off to you. So, is there any answer about what the next three or four movies are going to be, when the next one's going to come out? You talked about the Lovelock Caves. Let's start with that one. How long do you think before that's done?
We're looking at fourth quarter, so hopefully right in the middle, somewhere between October and the end of the year, we will have that out. We will definitely have a teaser out within a month at the absolute latest, and that's gonna set up all the other films because it'll present you, as we discussed, in the role of host, and then, you know, someone who has the ability to research and do the background and actually be there and do these things and actually have the real observances. I'm glad you brought up the when you watch all these TV channels and you see all these haunted shows, and most of them are just talking heads, and that's always been the difference with Tom and his films and how Tom does stuff. It's not just him with a bunch of stories being told standing in a room or sitting in opposite sides of a desk, a couple of people. He's actually, you know, in the woods, on the ground, out there doing it. He spends a lot of time with the people actually getting the stories and doing it right. And these new whole series of films follows that same model, and that's why they'll be so successful.
Wow. I just can't wait. And you know what? As always, Mark, thank you from the bottom of my heart and our team's heart. you've been doing an exceptional job. Excuse me, keep on keeping on, and we'll have your back when you're ready to have another big announcement. But before you leave, please tell everybody how to go to Tubi TV one more time.
Absolutely, absolutely. www.tubitv.com. It's that simple, tubitv.com. There's a big search box there. Just type in Biscardi or Brutal Bigfoot, and you'll get right to, you'll see the film pop up. You'll get right to it, click it, and you just get to start watching. There's all the typical controls. You can pause it. You know, if you want to get up and get a beer or go to the bathroom and start watching it again, you can watch it as many times as you want. It's completely free. And also, you know, look around the web as you go through the week. There will be some press releases and announcements on this because it is a big deal, as mentioned earlier. Tubi is not really doing these kind of deals with small independent producers like Tom. So when they do, it's news, and we want to make sure people know about it. So again, TUBITV.com. Just type in Brutal Bigfoot or Biscardi, and you'll get right to it.
Wow. Phenomenal. Phenomenal, Mark. Again, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. I think you want to listen to the rest of the show. Just mute yourself out. We've got a real Lollapalooza for you and everybody else around the globe. I'm going to see if my co-host is going to – are we set up for a commercial, Rocky?
Yes, we are.
Okay, why don't we go into – first of all, again, thank you very much, Mark. Just mute yourself out. And then we're going to do a commercial. On the other side of the commercial, I'm going to tell you some amazing things that just happened, and it'll blow your mind. Go to it, Rocky. Well, folks, I guess we're having technical difficulties. So
yes, we are.
All right, so don't worry about that. Forget about it. Let's just go right into the story we're going to tell that we're going to let the world know about. Number one, I got called yesterday. It happened the day before when TJ, my son, you all know him, Tom Jr., got an email from someone stating that they killed one of the creatures. Tommy, as he always does, he TO'd everything, turned it over to Leo. Leo, in turn, filters everything out before he sends it over to me. I don't know how long. I think he was on the phone for about 45 minutes with him. And that's when he said, you know, it's out of my hands now. You're going to have to call the Godfather and tell him your story. I get this call yesterday from a guy named Eddie. Okay? And he was frantic. And when I tell you frantic, believe me, 49-year-old man, okay, works for the United States government under a plan called Special Operations Forces, SOF. And you can Google them, folks. You'll see. They're out there. He was worried, he'd held, that he was going to be expendable and that they were going to kill him because he went out there, him and his four or five other operatives, and they called him Sarge. And he was going to go out there. They told him what they were looking for but didn't tell him what they were looking for. And it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, he came up on this thing. He emptied a clip of 7 or 8 shots, 7 in the clip, 1 in the barrel, in the pipe. And the thing didn't really go down and flung him 20 feet up in the air. And he's scared to beat hell, thinking, oh, my God. And all of a sudden, he called them. The feds came in, because he had to call it in, but they weren't far away where he was because they knew he was on the trail, him and his team. Well, they told him to stand down. these other guys came with guns, and so it was like a face-off, you know, the old Mexican face-off. They both had guns, and, you know, either one's going to, you know, drop them, and the other one, they're going to have a shootout. So him and his team, they stood down. His boss, and his boss never told him in all those years he's worked for the SOF to stand down, take your boys and leave. Take your guys and leave. He's never had that. He was just frantic as hell. So when I calmed him down, it was over an hour that he and I had talked. They wanted, his boss and some people wanted to come and meet him today. To make a long story short, he's only has 70 some odd days left before he retires, and he doesn't want to lose his pension. Boy, have you heard this before? But before he opted not to come on the show because of losing his pension tonight, Rocky, myself, and Leo got to talk to him. Rocky was on the phone with him with me because his story sounded so much like Rocky's story, it was incredible. So at this point in time, I want to bring Rocky on the show and tell him what you discussed with Eddie.
Well, Tom, when I got with him on the phone, it was so apparent that he was scared. He was a scared man. He was discussing, he said that the government people, were going to come out and talk to him at his house, and I advised against that. I told him, go talk to him somewhere like McDonald's or somewhere where there was people, where there was citizens and employees and stuff like that, so nothing could go south on him. And so after talking to him for a while, he finally agreed to that he would, rather than have his guys hiding out in the woods keeping an eye on him, I told him, have them hide at McDonald's and keep an eye on you there. And, you know, the more eyes, the less chance of anything untoward happening. He finally agreed to it, and after we talked, 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. But then he, I guess he, him and Leo, he called Leo and explained to him that there was, in fact, a change in plans. And the change in plans was, as Tom said, you know, he was afraid of what he stood to lose, so he chose not to come on the show. But at the same time, he said that there will be a time.
You bet. So at this point in time, let's bring Leo on. And Leo, what's your take on this whole thing? You were the last one that got to talk to him either through a text, through an email, or in person on the phone. What's your take on it?
Hello, Bigfoot world. Leo the Bigfoot Hunter. Who brought you? Hey, folks, this was a very, very, very extraordinary call, unlike any other call I've ever had. I can tell within the voice of this gentleman that he was really, really shook, that something had really took place, because he was all out of whack. He was trying to piece the story together. But one of the things that he did tell me is most of the time that when these units go on different kind of tactical expeditions that they go on, they are briefed. But they weren't really briefed on this. And they was under the impression they was Godfather, that they was hunting a wild bear, and
he did say that, Leo. As a matter of fact, he said it was an extinct bear for over thousands of years called the short-faced bear.
Correct. And he said that as soon as they got to the area, they got on the trail of this thing, And they was tracking this thing. And then about, I want to say early, about 2 o'clock in the morning on Monday morning, 2 o'clock a.m., they got near the mountain where this creature was. And I guess the creature felt like they was intruding on his territory. And he said that as they were walking down the trail, this creature came out of nowhere, a massive creature, that his face had was crossed from a monkey or similar to a wolf, broad shoulders, real thick, real broad, and this creature was slinging him around like it was nothing. And he did say, Godfather, I forgot to add to it, he did say that he's going to send me pictures eventually of his armor and the Humvee as it was torn apart. He did get those pictures of that. But the thing about it, when I talked to him...
Before you go into that, tell him about the blood-curdling scream that he said he never heard before in his life.
He said when they encountered this creature, they started shooting. They started making contact with this creature, engaging the creature, he and the guys on his team. And he said this creature let out a blood-curdling scream that would rattle your chest. And he said that it was a blood-curdling scream as if saying, I'm hurt, as if he was calling in reinforcements. He said that's where he took it, because the creature did it twice. And he said, you know, they shot the creature. And like you said, Godfather, once it was all said and done, they radioed back and said that the creature was down, that they had what they came to get, and the Men in Black showed up. And they all of a sudden had a Mexican standoff. And the only thing that he wanted answers. You know, he wasn't trying to make some kind of profitable gain out of this thing. He wanted answers, and they wouldn't give it to him. But I could tell in his voice that this gentleman was genuine, because unlike most calls we get, you know, you can tell off top, you know, we get some of the off-the-wall stuff that Rocky talks about a lot, telepathing and all this type of stuff. But this guy wasn't saying it. He said this creature was massive, and he said, I need to talk to someone. And I said, you need to hold that thought. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to call the Godfather so you can talk to him. You need to tell him this story so we can get this on the air to let the people know that one of these creatures have been killed. And I honestly believe it. And I can't wait till this guy come on the show, Godfather.
You know what? And I know that down the line he will. He was sincere as hell with me and Rocky and you. And the thing that I just went gaga goo-goo over was that in the beginning I thought, yeah, here we go, another goof, right? And he wasn't. And he apologized to me, and he says, you know what? He says, Tom, I'm sorry. I've never had anybody talk to me this way. And I says, you know what? I apologize to you also, Eddie. But you got to understand, I go through a ton of calls each week that we have to filter because we don't know if the next one's going to be the real deal. It's that simple. And he says, I understand, and he was so appreciative for all of us taking his time and our time and listening to him. This man was broken, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Leo and Rocky, they talk about PTSD, post-traumatic stress. And a lot of our guys, a lot of the vets, a lot of us, our guys in uniform, come back that way. Well, until you really encounter something like these guys do, and I did some research on the Special Operations Forces. These guys are, they're not Green Berets, they're not Rangers, they're not Navy SEALs. They're a team of their own, okay? You might want to take a look at it. And it's under the auspices and umbrella of the United States government. The difference is, if they get caught, killed, or any other catastrophe, we don't know anything about it. Kind of like Mission Impossible. I guess that you can do that. You can equate it to that. I was hoping that they wouldn't get to him. He did call them and told them that he needed a few days, and he didn't want to meet with them this morning. And they showed up anyway. And, of course, you know what happens. Same thing that would happen with our own personal guy, Rocky. You know, him and his dad were held for 3 or 4 days. He was handcuffed to a metal chair. 5 days. He was metal. They were handcuffed to a metal chair. They beat the shit out of him. I did remember they brought you a McDonald's, didn't they?
They brought. I got 3 out of the deal. Dan got 5.
Did you have the meal, Rocky?
No, they were. I told them if they're going to feed me that kind of stuff, at least get me a Big Mac, and I ended up losing 2 teeth out of it.
Hey, Godfather, yeah, I will say something in reference to this guy. You know, being a veteran myself, this guy broke down and started crying. This is one, unlike anything I experienced with talking to people in the past that try to come on the show with bullshit stories. But this guy, I can actually hear it in his voice, and I can actually hear him sniffling. This guy broke down and started crying. And a couple of times I had to catch him because he was getting ready to hang the phone up. And he was like, the hell with this. You know, I said, whoa, hold up, buddy. Hold up. And I had to go in that veteran mode to talk to him to try to get him to understand, hey, man, I'm here with you. Let's talk. And when we talked, he said, you know, I've been on missions. I've been in combat before. He said, but this was unlike anything I've ever seen. He said, because the simple fact, when we laid eyes on this creature, he said, you know, it was almost like he was in a movie, like he was in a Steven Spielberg movie. And he said, when he seen this creature, he said the reason they couldn't go in the combat mode that they're trained to do, and some of the guys on his team are, prior special forces or whatever, the reason they couldn't because everybody was like shocked, like, what the hell is this? And when they seen it, you know, they locked in on it, you know, that's when everybody just opened up and got trigger happy and started shooting, like, you know, the hell with this. And they said that the creature went ape shit, and the creature started attacking them. Yep.
Well, I'll tell you this, okay, and I agree and concur with both of you. He did break down, but it's human. He's human, just like anybody else, okay? And I'm here to make an announcement to the FTC, to any organizations that are listening to this show here tonight. It's going to be on a podcast. If anything happens to Eddie, his men, his family, we will make sure that this podcast or copy of this show will be sent to the right authorities. Because we kind of feel we're responsible right now, folks, because he was warned, okay? He's an expendable. Him and his men are expendable. He did what he gets paid to do. They sent him out on a mission. He fulfilled the mission, but he didn't know what the hell the mission was, especially when they, tagged and bagged one of these things. And they asked him to stand down and then told him and his guys to disperse. You got it the way we got it. I was hoping that he'd get on the air tonight, but listen, he's got a family. You know the area where this took place, and I've got to tell you, I'm not going to put it on the air, but I got to tell you this, we know the area real well, and I'll just give you a little hint. It was... They call it, one of the areas there, they call it the Biscardi Byway, the freeway up in the mountain there. That's all I'm going to say. And he was about 20 miles from where we had some big discoveries. So I know now that we're in the right area looking for this creature. I feel confident now. And he's got about 70 days. You know, this is what, end of August? We got September, October. I'm sure by Thanksgiving he'll be done, and I'm sure he'll be calling us. If not, I'll be calling him, checking on him, seeing how he's doing. And at that point in time, believe me, I'm going to go back out into that area. Trust me. because, like he said, there was more of them. Because his exact words to me, Tom, that blood-curdling call, the scream, I said, what did you think he was saying? He was telling the rest of them, it's danger, get away. He didn't call them in to help them. He knew that they'd be killed. That's what he told me. You detected something else, Leo, but I'm telling you what he told me. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I've waited this long. I can wait another 70 days. And I'd be honored and proud to go out there with that man, believe me. Because I've been in that area before. And I'd like to go again. It's been one hellacious 30 hours for me, folks. I'm sure it's been the same for Rocky and Leo, because this has been a roller coaster ride du jour. By the way, Leo, do you have the text or the email that he sent you when he said he couldn't come this morning?
Yes, sir, I do.
Can you read it on the air, please?
Let me find it. Let me find it, because he sent me several. At the time that he sent several, he was kind of distraught, and he had some problems going on at the same time. Yes, I got it right here. It says, I'm sitting here with my boss. We in a meeting. He says, well, I couldn't text you last night. I'm sorry to have to decline on the invitation to be on your station. Kind of need my job for a little while. So I will advise you when I can come on the show. Then he goes on to say, you know, I can't be terminated. I got to be able to eat, which I understand that. Don't have many choices. You know, and then he says he has a colorful past, and he said if you want to look me up to check me out, that I could. And he said you can forward this message to Tom. So he said he'll be done in about 70 days, and he'll be able to come on the show. And he said if we wanted to, one thing that was agreed upon that we could record him and bring his message on the show if we really wanted to, you know, get in depth with this thing. But I think what we need to do is just wait until he's retired and he can come on the show.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and I love the bit. And you know what? While he was in front of his boss, he wrote this to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he thanked you and I and said he was sorry.
Yeah.
He said something about that he has to change phones out. He will, and he'll make sure we get the new number.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Godfather, the one thing I find interesting in this whole thing is a lot of people probably out there listening to the show, and they probably think that we are insane. But that's the whole purpose of this whole thing, is bringing clarity to the millions of listeners out there, you know, about these creatures. And that's all we've ever tried to do. We've never tried to be in a pissing contest with the United States government or anybody or the world. We just wanted to bring some clarity to the world, because, you know, if we out here doing this research, but you're going to say I'm insane, then you're going to get what you're going to get on the other end, and that's going to be information that I'm going to bring that's going to rock the world. And that's what we're going to do. That's exactly what we're going to do.
You know, and I totally agree with you. I want to ask Rocky a question right now. Rocky, when you were talking with Eddie, what was going through your mind when you were listening to his saga and what happened to him? Did you reflect at all on yourself?
That's exactly what I did. I reflected quite heavily on myself. I advised him to, you know, not to discuss anything with them in private. everything had to be, told him that he needed to be in the open, around people. People didn't have to know what was going on, but they would know if they started laying hands on him, you know, that would put them in a position to where they had to go easy. And, I thought about what I went through, and, you know, me and the old man, and I did my best to steer him in a direction to where he wouldn't have to go through any of that. They went through it a whole different way with him. They, instead of beating the crap out of him, they just said, okay, you know, your welfare, your fiscal, not physical, but fiscal future is kind of in danger here. And so, you know, he did what he had to do. I mean, you got kids, you got to feed them.
You know, I want to ask you, what was the caliber of the handgun that he said he had?
I think one of them, Rocky, he said, he had, was it a
570?
It was a 5.7, a 5.7, which is, and, you know, I wasn't real sure because, you know, there was times that he was, you know, I was there at my business and it was kind of noisy. But I was thinking that he said a 5.7, which, you know, that is in fact the caliber, but I wouldn't necessarily have a problem going after, you know, a person or something like that with something of that sort. Certainly wouldn't go after a Bigfoot with one, but you know, if you don't know what you're going after, you take what you have. So, you know, even with the with a small caliber gun, if you get enough in them, you can kill an elephant with a BB gun if he'll stand still long enough for you to go through those thousands and thousands of BBs. So,
I hear you loud and clear. Let me ask both of you guys a question. You know, he talked about, he was kind of miffed. He was mystified when he talked about the Mexican standoff between the feds and his guys. What did you think of that?
I thought he was lucky to be able to tell us that.
Yeah, because I think that, you know, he was mystified because the simple fact is, the one, they didn't let him know what mission he was on. Two, once he made contact and seen this creature and seen what he's seen, that he was just horrified at it, that they, a creature of such massive and similar brutal Bigfoot brutality, that they were trying to keep this creature, and they was trying to keep them from seeing what they had encountered. They wanted them to think, hey, it's optical illusion. Really, what you really came in contact with was a bear. It is what it is. Walk away. And, you know, I would have been mystified, too. I would have been like, hey, somebody got to give me some damn answers before I leave here.
Well, you know, it's like Leo said later, I guess it was yesterday, a bear doesn't pick you up and throw you down the hill. I mean, I can testify to that. I mean, I've been there. That's not what they do. They don't have opposable thumbs. They don't pick you up and throw you. They get a mouthful of you and maybe sling you that way. But he said that it physically grabbed him and threw him. I've experienced that too. So, yeah, I was concerned with. I was concerned with his safety, you know, him talking about going and getting and discussing it with them. But I don't know. It's a short-faced bear. That was something that was went extinct in this area around Arkansas, Missouri, places like that, a thousand years or so ago. Well, I'm kind of doubting that. I'm kind of doubting the short-faced bear story. And if it had been a short-faced bear, he wouldn't have been telling us the story. He would have been a steamy pile of short-faced bear poop on the side of the hill.
Yeah, he would have been a Happy Meal and wrapped up in some leaves.
Yes. Yep.
Hey,
I'll tell you this.
I'm
looking at it right now. This is during the Plessence Epoch era.
That's what I was going to tell you.
And 11,000 years ago. And they were most commonly abundant in California. And I'm looking at these things, and oh my God, folks, these things are huge.
Okay?
Huge. It says, how big was a short-faced bear? Well, everything is in meters, so if you guys know what a meter is, the largest mammalian land carnivore to ever live in North America was these bears.
Yeah.
They were, dig this.
Yeah. He said his creature was larger than the bears.
How big is that?
What's that?
4.3 meters.
That's about, what do you say, Rocky, about 8 feet tall, maybe?
That's 12 foot.
I was close. I was 4 inches off, so
I know.
12.
I know what a gas meter is, but
dig this. He was 5.5 to 6 feet across the shoulders.
Wow.
Yeah, he said this thing was bigger than a short-faced bear. He said it's twice as big. He said it would make
that's
a short-faced bear look like a midget.
How big is that, Swede?
Meters, you know, you can consider a meter a yard is slightly shorter than 36 inches.
And by the way, guess what this thing's weighed? The average was 1,540 pounds. Holy shit.
416.
That's bigger than one of the Niagara boys, Swede.
Yeah, these are some pretty big stuff. Listen, I'm going to let you guys finish up the show because my agent just called me and I got to talk to him. Mark, I'm going to say goodbye to everybody out here and Leo and Rocky and Swede, they're going to finish up the show. So give me a call, Mark, and we can finish our conversation. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America, another great show to all my friends and family out there.
Hey, Rocky,
night,
real quick.
Tom.
Rocky, real quick. I'd like to tell the listeners out there, if you got any stories or you got any kind of information you want to give to us or you got any questions you want for us to ask us or you want us to answer on the show, just send your email to me at Bigfoot_Hunter5@protonmail.com. That's Bigfoot, Bigfoot, _Hunter, 5, at Proton, ProtonMail.com. And we'll get your questions on the show. If you want to be discreet, that's fine, and we'll try to get an answer.
All right.
Nice.
Good night, everybody. We've had a great show. Thank you for
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold, and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before.